Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. Let me tell you, it is wonderful to hear you sing. Boy, it's great to hear you sing this morning. Last night, we met with some of our family, and my dad, I think it was my sister-in-law, held up her phone and shows this video that some smart aleck Cameron Akers made of me. And she said, "Who did this to you?" And I said, "That's one of the kids at the church." So after watching that, I found my asthma inhaler because I don't struggle with asthma very much, but after watching that video, I couldn't hardly breathe. And so here it is. If you see me use that, it's Cameron's fault, okay? How many of you know that when God saves you, He saves you for a mission? You're a person with a mission. The mission that God's given you is a mission that you would make worshipers of the nations. The mission that God has for you is bigger than you. It takes more than you. It requires focus. It requires other people. It's not going to be done in this generation. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, you're always working and you're always thinking about illustrations. How can I illustrate this truth? And I'm not going to lie to you, there was one illustration that kept coming to my mind. And so... you just got to bear with me this morning. This just kept coming to my mind, okay? So it's October, and the year is the year 2000. It's at Talladega. Dale Earnhardt is run. Who else do you think I was going to talk about this morning? There's five laps to go, and he's in 18th place. Talladega, he's the master of Talladega. 18th place. He has no help. And then there's Kenny Wallace. Kenny Wallace was a young man who his brother was really famous, Rusty Wallace. Kenny Wallace was running pretty good. Kenny Wallace was a man that Dale Earnhardt had given a chance years before. He gets behind Dale Earnhardt because two cars can cut through the air faster than one. And in five laps, Dale Earnhardt goes from 18th place to first place. Some of you are going, "What kind of church have we come to today?" And he wins the race. It was his 76th race. He was 49 years old, and it was his last race. He couldn't have done it without Kenny Wallace. God's given us a mission. It's a mission that encompasses every part of our life. But it's a mission that you cannot do on your own. You know, I'm going to tell you, as I was thinking about what to preach today, I have had this planned. And I kept thinking about Ephesians. And I thought, "Oh, I need to say this about Ephesians." And I thought, they'll kill me if I go back to Ephesians one more time. So grab your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see something today. Today I want to talk to you about reasons for your life to be driven by the Great Commission. Reasons for your life to be driven by the Great Commission. When we open the Scriptures, when we look in each one of the Gospels and Acts, we are given the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the mission statement, if you will, for my life and for yours. The Great Commission is to encompass everything that we are, and you've got to know there is no separation between God's mission for your life and the way we live our life. The mission that we have is a mission that encompasses all of who we are. Listen, here's what you've got to know. A church is a mission-sending organization. We are, I hope you write this down, we are missionaries who send missionaries. The only difference between you as a missionary and a missionary on a foreign field is location. You've been lied to if you believe that as a Christian, there are those who take the gospel to the nations, there are those who preach the gospel, and that does not include you. The Bible teaches us that you and I have been saved. The message came to us in order to take the message to someone else. The only difference between a missionary on a foreign field and a missionary here, you, is location. And so when the Great Commission drives our life, it keeps us mission focused. Listen to what Luke writes. Acts chapter 1, look what it says here in verse 8. You know this passage of Scripture. Listen to what it says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Let's pray together. Father, as we've gathered in this place today, I pray, oh God, that our hearts and our minds will be focused on what your word says. That, Lord, here as we may understand and see and apply your word in a different way today, I pray, oh God, that as we do, we will walk out of here recognizing the call that you have on every one of our lives. That the way that we live our life is a life on mission, sending missionaries. That the way we live our life is a life with a mission from God, with a purpose from God, in order to accomplish a task that is bigger than us. Lord, now may we look to your word. And as we do, may we leave this place changed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we have a life that is driven by the Great Commission, it is a life that keeps us mission focused. Church, there is a purpose for your life, and that life is not just to live out the American dream. God has given you everything that you have, every ability that you have, all of the intensity that you have, the focus that you have. He has given you that life for a bigger purpose than living out the American dream. Having a nicer car, a bigger house, a big fat 401k, there is a bigger purpose for your life. And you know something? You know it. You know it. If you really look at your life, you can recognize that, man, even if UK wins or Louisville wins, okay? We can name the Louisville fans in this room on two fingers. That's it. Even if they win, there's still something empty. You can have the greatest vacation, there's still something missing. And there's a reason. Because there's a mission that God has for your life that's bigger than. It's bigger than completing that degree. It's bigger than receiving that diploma. It's bigger than retirement. It's bigger than vacation. And you know it. What I'm telling you deep down, you already know. So look at this passage of Scripture and look what it says. And you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Church, the reason that we do everything that we do is so that we can be effective missionaries, so that we can send missionaries, so we who are here can send missionaries there. Everything that we do is about sending missionaries. It's about seeing people worship Jesus Christ. The reason that we do what we do is so that we can be effective in that. The reason that we're gathering here, think about this. We read this in Ephesians. What is the purpose of the pastor? Do you know that research has shown that in churches that focus entirely on pastoral care, do you know what happens to those churches? That means those churches where the pastor runs from house to house to everybody's house to make sure that everybody's okay all the time. You know what happens to those churches? They die. That's what the research shows. They die. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a desire within each and every one of us that's what consumes our time. That we want to make sure that every need over here is met, every need over here is met, every need over here is met. You know what that is? That is a deception from the devil. God has a greater purpose. This church exists as a mission organization. We exist as missionaries who send missionaries. We exist as people who have a purpose of our life in our life given to us by God to see worshipers made of the nations. That's why we exist. Anything less than that is deceptive. And you know, as missionaries, as you know, it's just kind of just like a car. Man, I should not have brought these with me this morning. What is the purpose of a car? You know, if you have a car, an old car, here's something amazing. If you leave that car set in a climate-controlled environment, and you never drive it, and you can keep the maintenance up on it and everything, do you know that that car will fall apart in your garage? There's a reason, because a car was made to go down the road. I am going to easily be distracted today. And so why do you put it in the garage? I mean, you want to take care of it, but you put it in the garage so you can repair it, so you can work on it, so it can go down the road more effectively. But the whole purpose is to go down the road. The purpose is not to set in the garage, to go down the road. I'm not going to lie. The first time I picked it up on purpose, the second time it was just natural. Okay. And so when we look at the scriptures, I want you to notice something. So if it's true, and it is, that the very purpose, the reason that we do what we do is so that we can make worshipers of the nations. That's the calling that God has for us. He's given us a strategy. Notice the strategy. You know this. He says to his disciples, you're going to be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God has given you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? So you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, he doesn't say that we're to do that, and once we reach everybody in Jerusalem, then we go to Judea and Samaria, and then to the other. It's at the exact same time. That's going to require a strategy that he has given us. Church, remember this. There is no reason for our existence if we do not exist to raise up goers who are senders. From the very earliest of age, from the youngest, we are raising up goers who are senders. If you want to know why you struggle in your daily devotions, I want to read through the Bible. We're getting ready to come up on the new year, and you're going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read through the Bible, and then you're going to get to a section when somebody begat somebody else, and you're going to get confused, and you're going to quit. Let me tell you something. The reason you struggle with that is because you've made that an end in and of itself. When knowledge is the goal, you've missed the purpose. And now listen, you're talking to a guy who has multiple advanced degrees in Bible, who teaches the Bible at the graduate level. The goal is not knowledge. The goal is not, let's get together so we can have one more Bible study, so we can have one more Bible study. That's not the goal. The goal is to make you the most effective goer you can be. And when we have a priority, when the mission mission is the focus, then it changes other things. Do you know, this car does not have, I know it's a model, I don't get that, but that race car does not have air conditioning, it does not have doors, it does not have crash protection. I mean, I guess it kind of does, but not the same thing. There's a lot of things that you could not stand. When you go back and you drive an older car, you forget all of the luxuries that you have in the cars that you have today. I used to think, who would want a car that drives itself? And then you walk around Ashland and you see everybody on your phone and you say, thank God for cars that drive themselves. And the cars with alarms if you get too close, cars with a camera when you're backing up, on and on and on and on and on. It won't get too close, on and on. But why does it matter? Why does this car not have air conditioning? Because it slows down its mission. Why does this car not have all of the bells and whistles that your car has? Because it slows down the mission. Why does this car not have insulation? Insulation. Your car has insulation. Did you know that? Because it'll slow down its mission. Church, what you got to know is when you are mission focused, there's a lot of things that don't matter. But when you're not mission focused, when you get off of the mission, then all kinds of little things that never should have mattered in the first place become the big things. And when we look in the New Testament, we find out that the reason a church exists is to make goers who are senders. And that's from the very youngest age. You know, in the nursery, what are we doing? They're hearing about Jesus. Why? Because we want to make them goers who are senders. In the youngest age, the goal is not to teach them the ABCs. The goal is, we don't have the same goal as your school system does. That's not what our goal is. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to teach them to read in Sunday school. Our goal is to teach them the Bible, because we want them to be goers who are senders. Because amazingly enough, when you keep the purpose in front of you, then the things that you easily get distracted with don't matter as much. You know, a few weeks ago, I came in here and it was cold. Hard to believe. It's cold. And I know that the temperature in this room has to be 68 degrees. I'm telling you. Because if it's 69 degrees, if it's 67 degrees, everybody goes, oh, it's too cold, we're going to freeze to death. And if it's 69 degrees, oh, it's too hot, we're going to go to sleep. Which nobody ever said. So I go back there and look at the thermostat and I turn it on to heat, 68 degrees. Well, I'm teaching Sunday school, and it's so hot in here, you could cook meat. So I say, hey, turn the air conditioner on 68 degrees. He says, it's on 68 degrees. I said, turn it on 68 degrees cool. Now, I don't know anything. I just think that 68 degrees is 68 degrees is 68 degrees, right? I mean, that's logic, right? Well, some of you are ready to protest, because it was 68 degrees cold and it got too cold in here. You know, amazingly enough, and our goal is not to freeze you to death. Our goal is not to cook you. Our goal is just make it comfortable because we want to communicate the Bible. But let me tell you something. There are people meeting all around the world who meet in the middle of rivers. so that they could gather together so they could be prepared as goers to be senders. There are people who meet in secret places all around the world. And let me tell you, when we make it about us, things that should never matter, matter. But when we make it about a mission and we become mission focused, then things that may keep us comfortable in other places don't matter here, because our goal is to be goers who are senders. We will sacrifice here so we can go there. We will sacrifice here so we can send there. But remember, at the very basis of who we are people driven by the Great Commission. Amen? This is not goal cut it today, church. At the very core of who we are people driven by the Great Commission. Amen? So I just had the awesome privilege to go as a messenger from Rose Hill Baptist Church to the Kentucky Baptist Convention. And there's a lot that I can talk to you about how we as Southern Baptists carry out that mission. There's a lot. We go, we pray, we send, and we also give. You know, as missionaries who send missionaries, everything that we are about is about missions, is about seeing lost people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And at the very core of who we are is At the very core of who we are is that desire, is that drive. And there is a tendency that you and I have, and we find it from the earliest pages in the New Testament, to trust in the stuff that we have. But you got to know something. All of the stuff that you have, God has given you on purpose. And He's given you as a steward of that. Now, I am a Southern Baptist by choice. I am thankful to be a Southern Baptist. I'm thankful to pastor a Southern Baptist church. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons is the way Southern Baptists send missionaries. We give, I am actually an ordained independent Baptist. And when missionaries show up, here's what happens at an independent Baptist church. An independent Baptist give through missions. They will have a few missionaries, and those missionaries come and they raise support. A portion of their time, they come and raise support, and then they go do missions. And then when they run out of money, they come back and they raise more support and they do missions. That's not the way Southern Baptists do missions. The way Southern Baptists, and at Rose Hill, we support missionaries like that, and we support missionaries through what is known as the cooperative program. So when you give at Rose Hill on a regular Sunday morning, we're going to have all kinds of illustrations today. We got cars, we got offering plates. It's a Baptist redneck preacher's heyday, okay? When you give on a regular Sunday morning at Rose Hill, a portion of what you give goes to the cooperative program. Now, this is something that's unique in Kentucky. So, years ago, in 1915, the Kentucky Baptist Convention adopted what was known as the United Giving Program. Up to that point, each of the different entities of Southern Baptist life were given direct. You gave to directly. But through Kentucky Baptist, there was a decision made. Let's put all of the money into a single pot that goes to missionaries, and then we'll divide it out to each one of the entities, and so that those entities, those organizations, those missionaries can stay on the field. Like, for example, we've had missionaries who come from Rose Hill Baptist Church. Right now, we have Ryan and Aubrey Curry who come. Do you notice when they come, they never come asking for money? There's a reason for that. The cooperative program. Since 1915 in Kentucky, churches gave to the cooperative program through the United Giving Program. A portion of what everybody gives, of what you give, goes to that. You can look at that even right on that handout that's in your bulletin. In 1925, Southern Baptists adopted that, and they now call it the cooperative program. The cooperative program enables you and I to be mission-focused. That when we give, you are giving to more missionaries than you could ever imagine. And these are people who believe just like you, who are from our churches, like Ryan and Aubrey, and so many others. But the cooperative program enables us to carry out this mission that God has given to us to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth through the system that's set up. And so when you are driven by the Great Commission, it enables you, the Great Commission enables you to be mission-focused in the very purpose of your life, mission-focused in how you handle what you have. But let me say this, the Great Commission also makes us dependent on others. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. I want you to look at that passage of Scripture that Zach read for us this morning. Because here it is. When we talk about church, we talk about church and church in the old days, the first century church, we are told what that church looks like. We're told what they did. And when we talk about old days, we're often talking about something that happened in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. But actually, when we look at church in the old days, we see very clearly what they did. I want you to look at this. Acts chapter 2, and I want you to see this with me in verse 42. Church, I'd love to hear you turning pages of the Bible. That is music to my ears. You sang beautifully this morning. You're turning the pages of the Bible. You're following with me. I appreciate that. Listen to what it says. Acts 2, verse 42. Here's what the early church did. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Every one of them kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now, I want you to grab your pen, and I want you to notice what it says. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind and in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want you to notice what happens, church. That there was a priority, and that priority was the mission. And what is the mission? The mission of the early church was the same as the mission today, and that is to see disciples made, to see the nations worship Jesus. And they were sacrificing in order to do that. Church, when we look in Scripture, we see this idea of a tithe that goes not... here he is. He's going to talk about the tithe, and that's the law. And we don't abide by the law. Actually, if we look to the Scriptures, we find out that God expects us to worship in all that we are, and the idea of a tithe predates the law. In fact, we see Abraham... Remember, the law doesn't come along until Moses. We see Abraham worshiping God with the tithe. Why is that? Why does God expect of you to tithe? Now, I know some of you in this room, you're saying, Pastor, when I get everything in place, when I get our house in order, we're a young couple, when I get our house in order, when we get the cars in place, when we've just had brand new children, when we get all of those things in place, then we're going to tithe. That's not how it works. In fact, from the youngest age, The Bible tells us that there is an expectation from the smallest children to the oldest adult that we are to worship God with all that we have, and that we're to give Him the first 10%, the tithe, we're going to worship with Him through our giving. Why? Because there is a tendency in me and in you to trust in our stuff over trusting in God. That's a tendency. And so here's my question. If you're going to follow the Lord, then trust the Lord. And it's going to require faith. You say, Pastor, how can I do that? And I'm talking to every person in this room. If you get an allowance, you're to tithe with it. If you're to get a gift, you're to tithe with it. If you're to be a young person, you're to tithe with it. Why? Because you're going to teach your heart, as the song says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. You're going to teach your heart to trust in God and not in your stuff. You say, I don't know that I can do that. How, Pastor, how can I do that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When I was a kid, I learned to ride a bike. My first bike was an Incredible Hulk bicycle. I remember that. It was awesome. It had training wheels. And we did not have a paved street. It was paved later after I learned to ride a bike. And so there were patches of it that had been paved, and I learned to ride a bike in the patches and then wreck in the gravel. Did anybody else learn to ride a bike like that? And so I remember learning to ride a bike, learning to ride in the paved and wrecking the gravel. And then my dad said, Matt, it's time to take those training wheels off. Jason Cart's taking his training wheels off. It's time for you to take your training wheels off. You know, the training wheels were never meant to be there. The training wheels were to teach me how to ride that bike. I always think about tithing like the training wheels on the bike. Because tithe is to teach you to trust God. Because God has a bigger purpose. Remember, you're a person on a mission. And He's got a bigger purpose for you than just 9 to 5. He's got a bigger purpose for you than the 401k. He's got a bigger purpose for you than the American dream. I'm going to tell you, I look across this room and you may want to live out the American dream. You may want to seek that with all that you've got. I'm telling you something. You are selling yourself short. What if God is going to use that job that you have as a mission field? What if God is going to use what He's given you, those talents, those abilities, in order to carry out the mission? And I'm not talking about just giving to missions. We are talking about that. But I'm talking about living out that mission and going on a mission. You want to fuel your daily quiet time with the Lord? Tell somebody about Jesus. There will never be a single thing that fuels your quiet time with the Lord, your Bible reading and prayer, like sharing Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you start sharing Jesus, it's not only going to latch on to you and drive you, but it's going to challenge you. There are going to be people who ask you questions that you can't answer. I can't tell you how many. I am so thrilled with the young men in our church. You don't know how many of these young men message me and they say, Pastor, what about this? I'm sorry to bother you. Now listen, I'm like you. I get up 4 times in the middle of the night to pee, okay? They stay up late. I don't know what. They're staying up late. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start messaging at 5 o'clock when I get up. No. And they say, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. I said, you're not bothering me. What about this? What about this? What kind of resources for this? You got to know something. God's at work. We got some incredible young men in this church wanting to live for Jesus, lead their families for Jesus. Man, as a pastor, that thrills me to death. You got to know, there's something bigger than your American dream. There's something bigger than a 401k. There's something bigger than that diploma. There's something bigger than that degree. God wants every part of you to use that to focus you on mission, but the task ahead of us is bigger than we can accomplish. Now, I want you to see what the devil does. You need other people in order for you to grow and in order for you to go. And what the devil does is he seeks to make this about you. And when you don't get your way, it divides you from the people that help you grow and help you go. It's a deception from the devil. There's a bigger purpose for you than you. There's a bigger purpose for you than your dreams. In fact, when you and I are on mission, the things that get in our craw and upset us don't matter as much. When I was a kid, we'd go deer hunting. And my dad would always take Veeny Weenies. You ever eat Veeny Weenies? They're disgusting. Dad likes sardines too, I guess to give it that nature smell. But man, you're out in the woods and you can hear the leaves cracking and the sun's coming up and you're cold. You open a can of Veeny Weenies and it's like Thanksgiving dinner. And then, you know, you don't go into the store and go, you know what we're going to have for lunch today? We're going to have some Veeny Weenies. You know, we'd eat that in normal circumstances. But man, when you're hunting, that's a different ballgame. When you're out fishing, there's a different purpose. And the purpose is, you know, you don't even care. Ladies, I'm telling you, I've seen these fellas. They pull out a Veeny Weenie and it's got that jelly stuff all over them. And you're like, you got to wash that off. They go, I'm eating it on a pocket knife. You know why? Because the mission is more important. It's not about that. Oh, 5-second rule in the woods. Just get most of the leaves off of it. Why, church? Why? Why? Because the mission keeps us focused and the mission leads us to connect with other people. Do you know something? When we think about the mission to see the nations worship Jesus, you got to know something. That's a task bigger than me and you. But when you give at Rose Hill, you're giving to the cooperative program. In Kentucky, you're joining with 2,300 other like-minded churches. You're joining with 50,000 other Southern Baptist churches to carry out this task. Do you know what happens when you give at Rose Hill Baptist Church? You are supporting 3,500 international missionaries. You're supporting more than 6,000 missionaries right here at home. You're supporting the planting of, right now, 11,000 church plants. Why does that matter? Why does it matter? Because there is no other name given among heaven or earth whereby you must be saved. Why does it matter? Because the only way any person is ever saved is through Jesus Christ. And church, listen, the temptation is we're going to keep it all here. We're going to have nicer air conditioning. We're going to keep it all here. We're going to have nicer vehicles. We're going to keep it all here. We're going to have nicer carpet. We're going to keep it all here. We're going to have this done. We're going to have this done. And man, when I come to church, it's like going to a resort. That's not the purpose. Amen? The purpose is to be goers who are senders. And so We've got to make sure that we're mission focused and we're going to connect with other people, because the devil wants to drive us away. But you got to know something. There are churches right here in this town. We, as a Southern Baptist church, you got to know something. As a Southern Baptist church, we are united with other like-minded churches right here in the Greenup Baptist Association. Our Greenup Baptist Association, you'll be happy to know this, we just gave $10,000 to our Sunrise Children's Services. We just gave $5,000 to Tri-State Bible College. We just gave $4,000 to Clear Creek. We've got opportunities right here in our association to reach our community. But you got to know something. Who are the missionaries in the Greenup Baptist Association? Who are the missionaries here? You are. You are. Who's expected to reach your family? You. Who's expected to reach your neighborhood? You. And you need other people. And the devil's going to drive other people away. The devil's going to lead you to believe that this is about us. We need to do more to make us comfortable. Guess what? We are goers so we can be senders. Amen? Come on, church. Are you with me this morning? It's incredible. But I want you to see something else. So why be driven by the Great Commission? Because it keeps us mission focused. I'm going to quote the great theologian Dale Earnhardt. In 1996, he had a wreck, hurt his back, didn't win. And then he had a back surgery or neck surgery, and he won again. And he said, how did you stay focused? And he said, I told him, when things go wrong, win. Church, it's amazing. It's easy for you and I to get sidetracked, to get distracted by the things that are about us, but the responsibility God's given us is to be mission focused. And we need other people to do it. There's going to be people that will never listen to me, but they're going to listen to you. There's going to be people who you may not be able to reach, but I can. And the worst thing, the most deceptive thing that the devil could get us to do is to start shooting at one another and try to take each other out, to criticize one another, and to get off focus. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We ought to be, as long as we are focused on the Great Commission, we ought to be one another's greatest cheerleader. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I've talked to people. They'll tell me, oh, you should hear my pastor preach. You should hear him preach. He's the greatest preacher the world's ever known. And I listen to that guy, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. How do you listen to that every Sunday? You know what happens? But I love it, because I'm going to tell you, it's not about who's the greatest at whatever. It's about that guy. They're on my team. They're on my team. It's not about the greatest. It's not about who's the smartest. It's not about who's the best looking. It's not about who can sing the best. It's not about who can scratch me where I itch. They're on my team. And church, let me tell you something. If you're coming here and you say, Rose Hill's my team, then what team would you be on knocking other people down? You ought to, when they get up, you ought to say, oh God, let them be the greatest. This week I was at Sunrise, at the board meeting at Sunrise. We'll talk about Sunrise in just a minute. And the lady gets up to give a devotion. And she said, she actually was sitting right beside me. She gets up to give the devotion just before the meeting starts. Different people give devotion through that. And she gets up and she said, there's a lot of pastors in the room. And she said, this is really intimidating. I told her, I said, all of us want you to do a good job. You know, it's amazing when you gather together, there's a temptation to want to knock each other down. Well, you know what? They're not the greatest at. Oh, I remember back in the day when. But we ought to look at one another, and we ought to be the biggest cheerleaders for one another. You know how it is. My mom tells me, she said, oh, Matt, you preach like Billy Graham. I said, what are you laughing about? And I said, as I always say, I say, says my mama. You know, isn't it interesting? When you're for somebody, no matter what they're doing, when you're for somebody, you don't see their flaws. I got to tell you something. If you say, you know, I go to Rose Hill, but I can't be for them, then I'm going to tell you something. You shouldn't come here. You shouldn't come here. You say, it's my church. No, it's not. It's Jesus' church. And if you can't root for the home team, then you need to find a new home team. Amen? I mean, who in heaven's name would be on a team that you want to see lose? Honestly, right? I'm going to be on that. And, you know, I think about that as Kentucky Baptists. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm thankful to be a Kentucky Baptist. Because the Kentucky Baptist Convention does so much. And when I say Kentucky Baptist, I'm just saying the united fellowship of other churches connected together. Because if you want to look, you know who the Kentucky Baptist is? You! You can only be a Kentucky Baptist by being a member of a Kentucky Baptist church. And heaven help us, how would you tear down you? And when we're Kentucky Baptists, we're united together in order for missions. And I'm thankful to be that, because our convention is a convention that supports so many things. Let me show you one more thing and then we're done. So when we're driven by the Great Commission, we're focused on missions. When we're driven by the Great Commission, we're dependent on other people. When we are driven by the Great Commission, it helps us look to the future. So, you know, as we're looking, as we're kind of tracing the mission through the New Testament, I want you to see what Paul says. Last book Paul writes, 2 Timothy. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to hear what Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy. Listen to what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to what he says. This is what Paul says to Timothy. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, you know, when we look in the New Testament, again and again and again, we are told about how we are to connect to others. Listen to this, just real quick. The Lord Jesus, Mark 12, listen to what he says. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor or with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on, Mark, he goes on and he says, you know, to the rich young ruler, he says, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Paul said this, bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. The evidence of your faith is seen in the way we relate to others. You know, as a missionary, that's who we are. You say, well, I'm not a very good one. Well, there's no better time to start than today. You say, you know, I've failed on my missionary task. Well, then start today. You're not as bad as you think. Because I can tell you this, Rose, of the 2,300 Kentucky Baptist churches in giving to missions, Rose Hill is number 51 of 2,300. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me tell you, 3 John tells us, you got to know this, of the thousands of missionaries on the foreign field, 3,500, 6,000 here, 11,000 church, 11,000, that doesn't even count all the things going on right here in Kentucky. You got to know something. When you stand, but if you are giving to that mission, according to 3 John, when you stand before God in judgment, and you will, you're going to hear names that you've never heard before. Because that is accounted to you. Those more than 3,000 unengaged people groups. That's what 3 John says. Check me. Tell me. See, you can look in 3 John. And you know, the strategy is not just to give over there, but the strategy is to go here, to give here, and to go, you know, if we were to break this down, we would say, wait a minute, it's to give in my, so that I'm responsible for my community, I'm responsible for my state and nation, I'm responsible for the nations. That is the Great Commission, and we're to reach all of those at the same time. No, nothing does it better than Kentucky Baptist and the Southern Baptist Convention through the cooperative program. Do you know when you give at Rose Hill, you're giving to a lot of things, scores of things maybe you've never heard about. You're giving to Sunrise Children's Services. Now, Sunrise is very, very near and dear to my heart. Some of you have been on the board there. I'm on the board there right now. Sunrise includes giving. Sunrise includes 1,200 children in foster care. Since 2006, there have been more than 720 adoptions through Sunrise. And you got to know something. The goal with Sunrise is to introduce them to gospel-centered homes. There is counseling, Christ-centered counseling available through Sunrise. There is foster care available through Sunrise. There is adoption available through Sunrise. There is on and on and on through Sunrise. So I went to the Kentucky Baptist Convention. We went to that, came back, was home Wednesday night. I slept in my bed at Wednesday night and then left to go to the board meeting at Sunrise. I slept in my bed on Wednesday night, Thursday, yeah. And I thought, the meeting was in Louisville, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to stop and see Mrs. Stewart. Mrs. Stewart is the wife of one of the former pastors here. So I stopped in Lexington to see Mrs. Stewart. I'm sitting in her room, and it was almost dinner time, and she said, and I always like to take her some literature, and always take her more because she hands them out in her nursing home. And there was a little lady across the way. And she said, hey, have you known her? She said, no. And she came across and we were sitting there talking. Her name is C.C. Stewart. I said, this is the Stewart section in the nursing home. And she said, Miss Stewart, she said, you know, she's a Baptist. And the lady said, oh, yes. She said, I'm a member of Walnut Street Baptist Church. Well, here's what you got to know. Sunrise, after the Civil War, there were a lot of orphans in Louisville. And so some of the women in Louisville said, we need to take care of these orphans. Says it in the Bible. And so they started what is now Sunrise Children's Service. It used to be called the Baptist Home for Children. And this little lady who's in her 90s was sitting there and she said, oh, yes, I know. She said, I know of Sunrise. She said, that was started in my church. Get this, and she said, and my mom was a nurse for those children. Well, goodness, she's 90 years old. Her mom had to be one of the close. I mean, she might not have been one of the original nurses, but she'd have been close. Do you know when you give at Rose Hill Baptist Church and you give to the cooperative program, you're giving to Sunrise Children's Services, you're giving to Crossings Camp. Crossings Camp serves more than 2,400 students every year. You're giving, when you give at Rose Hill Baptist Church, you're giving to disaster relief. When everybody else is running out, our disaster relief goes in. And there's more than 2,200 volunteers every year. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you guys who've just retired, you're driving your wife crazy. You're trying to figure out what to do with your time. You need to be trained in disaster relief. ma'am, it'll get him out of the house. And some of you other guys who are able-bodied and capable, you need to be trained in disaster relief because it enables, it opens a door to present the gospel. When you give, I'm going to tell you, some of you were sending our children off to our college campuses. Do you know when you give at Rose Hill Baptist Church, you're giving to the cooperative program, you're giving to 35 BCM Baptist campus ministries all across the state. That means if your kid is going to, they're going to Louisville, the U of L, they're going to UK, they're going to all, you're going to Moorhead, they're going to show, to other these other places in Kentucky, you need to ask them a question. Have you connected to the BCM? You say, well, I don't know. Well, look. Well, they're going for the college experience. What if the college experience was an evangelism experience? Ask them. You connected to BCM? There's a BCM at Moorhead. You go to Moorhead. You connected? UK, U of L, Eastern. Preach on, sister. I don't know who said that. I can't see it. Preach on. That's exactly right. Ask them. Mamas and papas, ask them. You going to BCM? And you say, well, I will tell you this. I will make the phone call. I'm on the mission board, so they'll listen. I'll make the phone call, and we'll get your student connected to that Baptist campus minister. And I'm telling you, they're awesome. When you give at Rose Hill, you're giving help support 25,000 students in 6 of the finest seminaries in the world. And let me tell you something, that doesn't even include Clear Creek Bible College. That's not even including that. That doesn't even include Oneida Bible Institute. See, when you are giving, when you give at Rose Hill, you're joining with other people and you are focusing on others as well. That's the very call that God has on our life. That when we gather together, that there is a mission in my life and it is bigger than me. And I'm expected to go, I'm expected to pray, and I'm expected to give. Don't buy the lie that the biggest point in your life is the American dream, to have a bigger house, a bigger car. God didn't give you that for that purpose. And young person, I'm speaking to the students, the children. If you get an allowance, then use the first 10% of that for missions. Start learning with the training wheels. Young couples, there'll never be a day, when I get everything in line, I'm going to have children. That day ain't ever coming. I'm going to trust God with what I have. And you say, Pastor, it's been years since I trusted God with my finances. Then do it. Put God first and trust Him. I'm going to tell you it's a deception because there's going to be a day coming and you're going to give an account for how you've trusted God with all your time, all your talents, and all your treasures. God's got a bigger purpose for you. It's a great commission. When that drives your life, it'll keep you mission focused. It'll make you connected to others, and it will help you look to the next generation. It is to no one's credit that if I die, you die, Rose Hill dies. Oh, no. The hope of Rose Hill Baptist Church is not you, it's not me. The hope of Rose Hill Baptist Church is Jesus Christ, and we got to lift Him high. Amen. Father, we are grateful for our time together today. We're grateful, oh Lord, for Your Word. We're grateful, Lord, to be a part of a church that is focused on the Great Commission. We're grateful, O Lord, that we could come together and laugh. We can grateful, O Lord, that we could come together and look at Your Word. We're grateful, O Lord, we can dig deep. We're grateful, O Lord, we could be inspired for a purpose. Lord, You know every person in this room. You know there are some in this room today who don't know You. There are some listening online, on the radio, who don't know You. You've got a bigger purpose for their life. And that purpose begins with Jesus. That purpose begins with Jesus. You tell us in your word that whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. I pray, oh God, that before this day is out, if there be one here who doesn't know Jesus, that they'll know him by the end of this day. Lord, I pray that as a church, we will double down on the mission that you've given us to see the nations worship Jesus. That every person, every job, every area of influence, every time, talent, and treasure will all be devoted to Jesus. Lord, help us not to chase after the American dream. Help us to chase after the nations worshiping Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand with me right where you are? Would you just make that commitment right now? Would you just say, oh God, I want my life to be driven by the Great Commission. All my money, all my talent, all my treasure, God, it's yours. Help that drive my life. I'm the missionary here to my family, to my friends, to my workplace. Use me. And Lord, use those we've sinned. Would you tell that to the Lord right now? Maybe you are here and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. Then in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Won't you come? We'd love to share with you what the Bible says about how to know Jesus. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. Help us to be people on mission. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this together. Won't you respond to the Lord as we sing?